to the gambler, to the deceiver, to... Now, I know everybody in here is saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody got some skeletons in the closet. And every now and then, God will shake those skeletons just to remind us that we still need him. Amen. Amen. Nothing makes me more dissatisfied than for folk to be in church so long that they forgot about where they came from. You ought never forget where the Lord has brought you from. Amen. Matter of fact, every time you get in the mirror, you don't have to give yourself a testimony, but just wave and say, hey! Thank God. Amen. Thank God for saving me. Amen. I am privileged and honored again to be in this place in with my brother and sister, pastor and co-pastor, Carpenter. I'm always surprised when I get the call to come back. Because you know that you don't have to be viewed in such a way that in the 14-year life of this ministry that they would see fit to say, we still think you have a fresh word for the people that God has set before us to lead. I appreciate that. So we bless God for you. And then a lot can happen in 14 years. Amen. We've gone through all kinds of stuff and changes in 14 years. Young folk think 14 years is not a whole lot of time. But 14 years is a whole lot of time in ministry. Amen. Amen. And so you ought to thank God for what he's done for you, and certainly to all of the officers of this great church, and to my brothers and sisters in Christ. We greet you in the joy of the Lord, and certainly to my companion of 40 years, Sister Avenger, amen. Guess I better eat with y'all before we leave. No O's. Amen. I want to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 28 and verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. One day I'm just going to preach right from that 16th verse. That's quite. quite a thought that the Lord will prepare a mountain for you. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I want to encourage you from the thought this afternoon, moving forward in ministry. Moving forward in ministry. I don't know about you, but as I reflect upon these years, I am grateful to the Lord for how he has kept me. Amen. And today, as you celebrate these 14 years of service, you can also celebrate the fact that you are still being challenged to go further in the work of God and in the ministry he has assigned you. Amen. 14 years ago, God spoke by his Spirit into the hearts of this man and woman to come together and begin this work of faith. Amen. And somebody in the midst of that small band of individuals saw the hand of God and understood that the work they had been called to was greater than that day. Amen. They saw God moving 14 years down the road and understood the foundation that they would lay would help propel this work into a greater and greater testimony. And God has done that today. Amen. Those who have come and have any kind of vision of what has happened must understand that God has laid this work, the foundation he has laid. And it is not only for your benefit, but God has challenged you to pave the way, and he has used you to pave the way so that he could be able to move when you are gone. I wish I had a witness. This portion of scripture helps us understand why this ministry has lasted so long. And you still find yourselves in the heat of battle and not some cold, unproductive, washed up congregation. I wish I had a witness up in the house. Because there are a lot of washed up, cold, unproductive congregations, but God has laid a foundation such that 14 years later, you are still not cold, you are still not unproductive, and you are still not washed up. I wish I had somebody in the house. Uh, you are alive and well. And that somebody ought to be shouting off of that right now, because somebody whispered in somebody's ear sitting right here in this congregation 14 years ago. They told you it was not going to work. And 14 years later, you're sitting up here in worship service looking at God, waving your hand and saying, but God! But God. So, before we get into the heart of the text, I want to point something out that continues to be a theme in most of the lessons that the Holy Ghost has given us. Strange words in verses 16 and 17. The Bible said the 11 went to Galilee, to a mountain. To a mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. How powerful is that? That God will appoint you a mountaintop experience. Lord, have mercy. God will lead you out of the valley right into a mountain. God! That ought to, every time I read that, that blows my mind. God will appoint a place. God will appoint you a mountaintop experience. God will appoint you a place of victory. God, look at somebody and said, God will take you up out of the valley and place you right. He'll drop you in the mountain. Amen. And when he's appointed you a mountain, can't nobody take your mountain. Can't nobody. The devil can't take your mountain. All right. And so, the Bible says, when they saw Jesus, now he appointed them a mountain. And then he came, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I'm just trying to reflect upon these 14 years. You don't mind. Yeah. Jesus rose from the dead, defeated the devil, put death in his place, kicked the grave off of welfare, gave hope back to a group of men who had lost all hope, showed up at a mountaintop party, and still some doubted. He was there. It did not take faith or vision. It did not take prayer, praise, or worship. He was there, and some still could not see the vision. Some still could not understand what was going on. And Jesus was there. But you know, I don't want to focus on the doubters. Amen. But Jesus said, I ain't got time for doubters no more. And he went on to give encouragement to those who did not doubt. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes you got to minister to those who don't doubt. Hey,
Amen. Amen. Jesus didn't stop. He didn't stop to plead. He didn't stop to pull. He didn't stop to beg. He just went on to encourage the rest and to push them on because he understood that the work was greater than the doubters.
And there was a reason. There was a reason that he could push on. What Jesus said to them, he says, look, as he gave these instructions, he did not stand at a distance, but he came near to them and he gave them such convincing proofs of his resurrection that it turned the scales and removed the doubt. Aren't you glad that he'll turn the scales in your favor? And so as he removes the doubt, he delivers to them the great charter of his kingdom in the world. And he was sending them out as his ambassadors. And not only did he send them, but he gave them the credentials that they needed in order to go wherever they needed to go to do his bidding. You are not here doing this work without the proper paperwork. Amen. You need to have credentials. Now, what we must never forget is that the Lord, the one who is sending you, is not without the ability to watch over you. Amen. There are two things I want to point out about the one who called you 14 years ago and who is calling you this day. First, look at the commission the Lord receives himself from the Father. Being about to authorize his followers, he tells us that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here he states the fact that he has been given universal authority. He has all power. That is power over the devil, power over sickness, power over failure, power over closed doors, power over broken relationships, power to handle any kind of situation that you take to God in prayer. Look at somebody and say, he is able to handle. So the question is, how did he get this power? You see, where you get your power from is important. In fact, where you get your stuff from is important. Amen. That's why it's, let me take a commercial break. That's why it's good to get your stuff from God. Because if you out there trying to make that fast money, the government will come take your stuff. Tell you ain't earned that. Amen. But if you wait on the Lord, y'all ain't talking to me. I said if you wait on God, if you get on the elevator and just take the elevator to the first floor and the second floor and the third floor and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth floor, amen. Let other folk go by you like that. They'll be coming back down the same way, amen. While you be stuck on praise, while you be stuck on blessings, while y'all ain't talking to me, amen. Get your stuff from God. All right, that was a break. That was a commercial break. Be careful where you get your power from. See, we need staying power. You wouldn't be here 14 years unless there was some staying power. Amen. Not power that has term limits. Or power that's limited by how long the people
like you. They'll leave you in power because they like you, but do something wrong, they'll turn their backs on you in a minute. You need a different kind of power than that. You need power that is lasting and that is not compromised by the day or by the times that we live in. So where did he get his power? It was given to him by a grant from him who is power. As part of the Godhead, he has power, but as the great mediator, he has all power. Amen. This power that was given was over all flesh so that he could also give eternal life. Lord, have mercy. But where could he use this power? What was his territory? The Bible says in heaven and in earth. He's Lord of all. He has all power in heaven. He controls the angels in heaven. He has power of the intercession with the Father. Now he speaks as one who can demand. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Now when you go into prayer, because he has all power, when he intercedes on your behalf, he ain't got to beg for nothing. When he goes to God, he commands.
He commands because he has all power in his hands. He's Lord of all. Amen.
He prevails with men and deals with men as one having authority by the ministry of reconciliation. All souls are his. And one day the Bible declares that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you say every knee? Every black knee, every white knee, every yellow knee, every brown knee, every red knee, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Amen. The unbelievers going to confess. The cursers are going to confess. The bad dudes are going to confess. The prostitutes are going to confess. Everybody going to confess. The doubters going to confess. Everybody is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. That's good news. Amen. And so in light of this, the fact that he is in control of everything in heaven and everything on earth, he tells us we can go and do the work he's assigned our hands. There is no power that can stop us. There is no power greater than the one who gives us power. I wish I had somebody here. And so he says, I commission you, go ye therefore. The commission is given first to the apostles, the architects that laid the foundation of the church. That is what we are doing here today. That's why you're here. We're standing on the shoulders of them to whom God called and appointed to this work. He gave, the Bible says, amen, he gave us gifts into the church. He gave gifts to the church. He gave Pastor and Lady Carpenter the vision and the power to lay the foundation. And the interesting thing is that this commission is not just a command, but it is a word of encouragement. go. And while you're going, fear not. Amen. Because I have sent you. The apostles did not know that the church would be standing like this, but they built the type of foundation that guaranteed that the church would be here. Those who went before you did not know that 14 years later, this work would be here on this corner and looking to conquer yet more territory, but they laid the foundation.
Thank God for the foundation. So the Lord himself stirs up his disciples to disperse themselves over all the world. This call is not extended to the apostles alone. The church has gotten so far out of kilter. This call was not given to the apostles alone, but it's given to their successors, ministers of the gospel, evangelists, workers in the vineyard, whose business it is to transmit the gospel from one age to another to the end of the world. Amen. That's why you're still here. There's no other reason why you're here. You're not here because you've been so good. You're here because a foundation has been laid. That's why you continue to accept the challenges that the Lord sends you as a congregation. What would have happened if Pastor had decided to stay where he was and ignore the call and refuse to come out of society? What would have happened? Huh? If he had come to the conclusion that this move was too much for him. God was setting you up. Amen. He was setting you up. But he was setting you up for the next stage as you follow the biblical commission to go. So the Lord made sure that I know some of y'all saying, "Hurry up! I can't. I'm slowing down." I'm just slowing down these days. So, deal with it. And so the Lord made sure that he gave the early church the proper resources. I just need you to get this. To expand. And to further the cause, because when he ascended, he gave not only apostles and prophets, but pastors and teachers. He gave. Amen. He gave. No matter if you like us or not. He gave. Amen. And the interesting thing is that the Bible says he gave some. That means everybody. See, everybody can't get what's yours.
Everybody can't have what God has for you. Everybody can't get the blessing that God has. Amen. You know how folk will line up and say, well, if God did that for you, he can do that for me. Well, he can, but that don't necessarily mean he will. Amen. You can't get my blessing. You can't get what God has for me. You look at somebody and say, look, what God has for me is for me. You can't steal it. You can't pray it away. You can't snatch it from me. You can't dance it away from me, because God has gave it to me, and what he gave to me is for me. Amen. And I don't care if I got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to get what I'm going to get what God. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Anybody in here had to labor for your blessing? You had to stay on your knees for your blessing. You had to go from one door to the next for your blessing. Some of you was even ready to give up, but just when you threw up your hand to say it's over, God turned that over into a praise. Lift up your hand and say, I'm coming out with my hands up. That's why you're still here. That's why you're still here. And then he talked about how far that commission was to be extended to all nations. They were no longer to limit their work to the Jews. Years now, it's time for some of you to get out the pew. For how long you going to sit on your mama's lap? It's 14 years now. That deal is nullified. Canceled. Now they were sent everywhere. This salvation was to be offered to everybody. And nobody ought to be excluded except those by their own refusal who reject the message of let them go to hell. If they want to go. I ain't going to drag you to heaven. Your mama drag you to church, but I ain't gonna drag you to heaven. You gotta want to come to heaven, but you gotta want to. You anybody here want to go to heaven? All right, that was lightweight. Now let me ask a bigger question. Anybody here going to heaven? Anybody? Go ye into all nations, preach the gospel to them, work miracles among them, persuade them to come in themselves, bring their children with them into the church of Christ, and admit them after faith into the church by the washing of water. Go into all nations, preach the gospel to them, work miracles among them, persuade them to come in themselves, and bring their children with them into the church of Christ, and admit them after faith into the church by the washing of water. Go into all nations, preach the gospel to them, work miracles among them, persuade them to come in themselves, and bring their children with them into the church of Christ, and admit them after faith into the church by the washing of go into all nations, preach the gospel to them, work miracles among them, persuade them to come in themselves, and bring their children with them into the church of Christ, and admit them after faith into the church by the washing of water. Go into all nations, preach the gospel, work.
baptized him, this was not just a bath. Mm-hmm. Baptism must be administered in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Can I preach a couple more minutes? Can I preach? The baptism must be administered in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is, you get this now, because some of you are confused about where we get our authority from. Amen. We don't baptize or give you the word by a fiat of man, but by authority from heaven. Amen. Pastor and co-pastor act by authority from the three persons in the Godhead. They don't preach in their own power. They don't teach in their own power. They don't go in their own power. You see, because if this work was founded through a direct authority of man, you would not be here now. Amen. We call upon the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This was intended as the summary of the first principles of the Christian faith. By our being baptized, we agree with the scripture revelation concerning God, with the scripture revelation concerning the Son, with the scripture revelation concerning the Holy Ghost. We enter into a covenant relationship with the Godhead. Can I preach a while? We understand baptism to be a sacrament, amen, and an oath. We commit ourselves to, see, we got to get this. We commit ourselves to Him and to the principles of Scripture and give ourselves to Him, body, soul, and spirit. That's the mistake some people make in the church. You think you've given yourselves to me. You think you've given yourself to her. You think you've given yourself to Him. So when you get mad and walk out, you think the church gonna stop functioning. But the foundation has already been there. You can get your stuff and get the hell out of here, and it won't make no difference. The church is gonna go on. We ain't laid a foundation. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I know we're in this great century with great minds, but if it were not for the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. We commit ourselves to Him and to His principles. Amen. So we throw our head back and say, as Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or as Thomas said, My Lord and my God. He is our prophet. He is our king. He is our priest. And this is why you are not afraid of the challenge He set before you in these last 14 years. And so as we bring them into this wonderful state, He says, teach them. makes me sick. They don't want to be taught. They have itching ears. They're carried away by all kinds of winds and doctrine. Everybody fly in, they run. Running to have a handkerchief put on them. Running so they can touch the prophet's head. But they will not endure sound doctrine. So we have a duty to go get them. You are the salt. You are the light. Amen. Amen. You ever talk to you for a second. You ever think it was strange how folk in the church hold us responsible to go get sheep?
My Lord.
The Lord says everyone has its own kind. Sheep forget. Oh. Let me ask you, could you ever consider it strange that sheep expect shepherds? A shepherd who makes the sheep ought to go to jail. So we have this charge so that we not only advance the kingdom of God in general, but that it might advance the cause of our charge and your charge as a congregation. He gives us a pledge. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so the first thing, and I'm just about done. The first thing, that was a Baptist, I'm just about done. The first thing, yeah, I got at least two more times. At least. The first thing he promised you is favor. Thank God for his favor. He says, I am with you. He didn't say, I'm going to catch up with you. Didn't say, if all things being equal, I will come alongside of you. But I am with you. What an encouragement. I am with you. I'm with you in the good times. I'm with you in the bad times. I'm with you when you're in trouble. I'm with you in the mountain. I'm with you in the valley. I'm there. There is no place you can go. There is no experience you can go through that I will not be there pulling you and pushing you and carrying you. Whatever it takes, I'm going to make sure that I am there.
God we serve, huh? What a God we serve. Is anybody in here glad that he's with you? He says, I'm with you. I am with you. Amen. Have you ever been through those days when you thought you was all by yourself? Have you ever been in those times, those midnight hours where you thought you was ready to give up, and all of a sudden God showed up from nowhere and gave you encouragement you thought you never would have? Somebody ought to stand up and just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your favor. And you know what's good about favor? Favor ain't fair. God will bless you in spite of you. God will bless you even if folk think you ought not be blessed. God. Can you say favor? Thank God for his favor. Here he was about to leave them. His bodily presence was now going to be removed, and he was grieved for them, and he assured them, I am with you. My spirit is with you. The comforter shall abide with you. I am with you, not against you. With you to take your part and to be at your side. I am with you, and not absent from you. That's good news. Not at a distance from you. I am a very present help in time of trouble. I'll be there to carry you through the difficulties, amen, that you are likely to face as a ministry. I am there to bear you up when the devil's tearing you down. I'm there to please your cause when the devil is there accusing you. I am with you. I'm with you with the work that I set before you. I'm with you in all of your sufferings. I'm with you to make your ministry effectual so that you can take on the land. The land will be yours because I am with you. I will make it happen. I will carry you and I will ensure you victory. But how long did he promise that his presence would be with us? For a season? No, not for a season. I'm so glad he's not a wishy-washy God. He didn't say, I'll be with you Monday through Wednesday. But he says, I'll be with you always. And the same favor he gave to those who laid this foundation is with you to build upon. I'm with you always, all day, every day. I'll be with you on Sunday and Monday. Thank God for that. I'll be with you with fair days and foul days. I'll be with you winter days and summer days. Whatever day it is, I will be with you. I'll be with you without intermission. Even to the end of the world. This movement that God has placed at 51st and Locust will not die because his Holy Spirit abides with you. And then these parting words, I leave with you even as the Lord leaves. He says, fare thee well. Lo, I am with you. Always, I leave you, and yet I am with you. But there is another encouraging word that he left. He says, surely I come quickly. I leave you for a while, but I will come back. shortly. Aren't you glad he did not part in anger as so many of us do? We walk away from the church angry and mad. We walk away from the church because somebody did something or said something that we didn't like. But the Lord, even after they crucified him, even after they whipped him all night long, he departed in love and said, "Lo, I am with you always." But I come quickly. And he says, "My reward is with me. I am the Amen, in whom all promises are yea and nay. So be it. So it is. I am with you." But, thank you, Lord. But that's not how the story ends. Now, I know we sing, "That's not how the story ends." But 3 days later, he came again. That's not the story I'm talking about. I'm saying that one day he will come back. Yes, he will. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a church that says, "I will do what the Lord said do." I wish I had a witness up in the house. I'm going to go with the Lord. Anybody here go? I'm coming back. Guess what? It's all going to be worth it. Every tear is going to be worth it. Hallelujah. Every hurt is going to be worth it. Every pain is going to be worth it. Every broken relationship because of Christ is going to be worth it. Every time they laughed at you is going to be worth it. Every time they counted you out is going to be worth it. Every time you wanted to give up because the folk just seemed to be stiff-necked, it's going to be worth it. Aren't you glad? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. One glad morning when this life is over. Yes! Yes! It's going to be worth it. Can you raise your hand and say, "Lord, I'm glad. I'm glad. It's going to be worth it. He's going to dry every tear from your eyes." Hey! And then he's going to put his hands on your back and he's going to say, "Well done. Well done. Well done." My brother. Well done. Well done. Give somebody a high five. Tell them, "I've been here 14 years. I've seen what God can do. I saw him make a way. I saw him open doors. I saw them laugh at us. But then they marched with us as we came to 25th and Locust. God is able." He's able. So Lord, we just come by in this celebration to say thank you. Thank you. Can I get a few people to just say thank you? Can I get a couple folk to stand on your feet and say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you. I hung in there. I ran the race.